It seems only right, since we're standing in front of the main entrance to Broadcasting House in London, that we should remember Dylan Thomas as one of the finest broadcasters of his generation.
On a September Sunday morning, Graham Fawcett begins a tour of the buildings and homes that Dylan Thomas knew well. And there's a lot to see for the mix of Dylan fans and curious tourists who've turned up. After Wales, London was the biggest influence on Dylan Thomas's life and work. He first came here in the 30s, and before long he'd settled among a raffish group of writers and artists, influencing both his creativity and his drinking. Dylan Thomas's granddaughter, Hannah Ellis, says the London years were crucial to his development.
London was the place, the bright lights as such. It was a place that my grandfather needed to come to for work. It was a place that offered him the chance to meet with artists, musicians, other writers, other poets. I suppose for London, for me, is basically, effectively, I suppose I wouldn't be here if he hadn't been to London, because it's where he met my grandmother.
Augustus John, who she was the mistress of, allegedly brought her in here. Dylan had his head in her lap within a few hours, and another hour later, they were at the Eiffel Tower Hotel, where they spent a week in bed.
The story of how Dylan Thomas began his fiery relationship with Kathleen McNamara at the Wheat Sheaf pub, one of the wild tales of his time in this city, which have added to his notoriety. There was certainly plenty of drinking. His face is on the wall of several bars around the Fitzrovia area of London. And Jason Morell, who's running a Dylan festival here next month, says the poet's relationship with the city wasn't always a good one.
He had a very ambiguous attitude towards London. It galvanised him and it enervated him. It inspired him, and he also wanted to escape from it. It was partly a terrible destiny for him and partly a fantastic inspiration. He sometimes wrote about London that it was the city of death, and at other times he wrote about it as a mermaid city full of light and water.
On the Tube this summer, his poem Fern Hill has been pasted in carriages, a distraction for passengers and a reminder of the role London played in getting him published. It was shortly after a visit here that his first volume was published, and he found work writing propaganda films during the war.
The fun with Price!
Without London, Dylan's most famous work wouldn't have made it to the page. The BBC commissioned him to write Under Milk Wood with much persuasion and supervision. Now, tonight it's being performed by some of the cast from the famous BBC recordings, but surrounding it are new paintings in a gallery, themselves all inspired by Dylan Thomas and part of another festival. It's the Welsh artist Dan Llewellyn Hall who's painted them.
Reinterpreting the work and bringing, you know, fusing it with life in other areas, I think is important because it broadens an audience. It gives people an access point that they might not necessarily have come across the page, and it might lead them on to reading it. That's my hope.
In the 30s, Dylan complained that when he came to London, bang go my plans in a horrid alcoholic explosion. There's no doubt the bars played their part, but the people and places that embraced him also influenced the work that endures a century since his birth.